Well, if at this time, if you would take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 16 and 17. But probably to the same extent, or maybe in a little lesser than as we looked at Matthew 4 last week. So this is still kind of systematic in bringing many things together. But that's just where we're going to talk about and settle a little bit here this morning. So I kind of want to go over to, again, what we discussed last week in the suggestions I gave and how to study your Bibles, how to study Scripture, and may hopefully to bring some clarification if need be. You know, as we get in this morning in the service into the end of 1 Peter chapter 1 and begin chapter 2 there, I think that'll reinforce even what we talk about today and what we talked about last week as well. So last week in how to study the Bible for ourselves, one thing I suggested was reading the Bible through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But to get into a little bit of why I suggest that is because I think that's helpful in a lot of ways. And I think it's helpful to aim to read it through in a year, to make that a goal. Therefore, then you have a reasonable time frame to work through. You're saying, okay, I have an end date that I'm aiming for to work through this. And again, it's an aim. If you miss it, it's not the end of the world. We're just saying it's. I think it'd be helpful to aim for that. One, to make sure then that you are progressing. And if you have that aim and you have this goal, then to keep moving forward towards that goal. So I think that's one reason why it's helpful. I think it keeps a good pace that you don't put so much time between your readings that now I forget what I read before. And now, what's the context of this again? What's going on in this book again? And so, you know, we can forget when we put too much time period between things. So when we're aiming for this daily reading and working through that in that time period, that can help us still keep everything together and remembering what we're reading and what we're going through and what the context is as we work through that. So keeping the pace, I think, is good. To keep that pace, there are many different reading plans to go through the Bible in a year. And if you're interested in any of those plans, see me and I'll look at and I can give you a few and you can look at and think about, okay, what might work best for you. There's even the ESV has a one-year Bible. I think it's called a daily one-year Bible or one-year daily, something like that. And that can be helpful as well, to have that actual physical Bible that's divided up in readings for each day. And most of those reading plans will give you an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading and then a Psalm and Proverb for each day. And if those kind of plans work for you, great. They don't work for me personally. Having it broke up like that makes me personally distracted and it's too much going on for me. I need to keep things simple. I'm simple. And so for me, just working through a whole book, working through Genesis, working through Exodus, and just reading through the entire books, and if you read about three chapters a day, again, it gets a little wonky, that gets thrown off a little bit in the Psalms, but if you read about three chapters a day, you should get through the Bible in a year. And then doing that too, I think helps because also it would help you see the connections between things. As you read through the entire Bible, and then do it again, too. So it's not just this year, okay, I read through the Bible this year. No, aim for it again then next year as well to read through the entire Bible. And the more you become familiar with it, the more you can make the connections between different things, the storylines that are happening and how God has brought about this people and what he's doing through this people and how he's bringing Messiah through this people and the end goals of those things. You can trace the themes of Scripture, of the kingdom, of redemption, of Messiah, of a people of God, and trace those themes throughout the Scriptures and see those connections to understand what's going on through all of those things. And so this is one reason why I'm saying I think it's helpful to read through the entire Bible, to bring all of that together and see those connections and the themes, the threads that are throughout all of Scripture. And so that's important. I think it's helpful in understanding these things. So that's, again, I suggested reading through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. I also suggested then that along with that, having a book that you do a deep dive study into. That it's not just reading it through, but you're trying to get, okay, I want to get as deep an understanding of what's going on, and so taking your time through that one book. I think John MacArthur's suggestion is really good when he suggests starting with a small book. If this is the first time you're doing a deep dive into a book of the Bible, you know, don't go to Revelation, don't go to Daniel. Go to one of John's epistles, go to Jude, something small like that, and read it through and take piece at a time, verse at a time, and understand and move through it slowly. And with that, I suggested, you know, using a good study Bible. I personally would suggest the MacArthur Study Bible. There's also the ESV Study Bible. There's others as well that can be helpful. And maybe getting at least a one-volume commentary at the least that can help you work through those things. Or if you've picked a specific book too, getting a commentary, looking at what might be the best commentary on that specific book. And there's a lot of resources to help with that, to say, okay, what are the best commentaries for each book of the Bible? And I can, if you're interested in that, I can help you with that. Off the top of my head, you can go to, this should be easy to remember, bestcommentaries.com, right? And that has a list of what's considered the top commentaries for each book of the Bible. But we also discussed, too, that there are free resources as well online that you can go to. Again, BibleHub.com is one that has a bunch of free resources to help you do deeper studies into the text as well. Or, two, you can just come to me and see what you can borrow from me if I'm not needing something at the time, or I can even just get you something as well if you desire that. So you can come talk to me. Now, you might be thinking, too, well, how do I do that? How do I read through the entire Bible in a year and do this deep study at the same time? I mean, man, that's going to take work and that's going to take time. And it is, to be honest. I'll be fair. It is going to take time. One, we did talk about prioritizing that time in the Word. So there are things that we see as a high priority that we make sure we have the time to do. Do we do that with God's Word? So we should do that. At the same time, too, yes, as we talked about reading from Genesis to Revelation, aiming for a year. If you don't get it, again, it's the aim. The goal is to keep the pace and get the real goal is to get through the Bible. But that'll take a time to read and sit and read through three chapters. But usually, even still, those three chapters aren't often terribly too long. And when talking about a deep dive study, well, how long should I spend on it per day to do this deep dive study? Well, that depends on you. That depends on your circumstances. That depends on your scheduling and those things. So how much time should you spend on it? How many verses should you get through in this deep dive study? Again, what works for you? And overall, my point is not necessarily that you read the Bible through a year, not necessarily of how many verses or chapters you get through in a day in a deep dive study, but my real goal in earnest is just that you would do it. Just do something to start with, at least to get into the Word and be growing in your knowledge of the Word and seeing how important and vital that is to your life. Just at some degree, I'm saying, just do something. I've given you these suggestions, but do something to get into the Word, because it's so important for us to be in the Word. It's so important to be growing in the knowledge of the Lord and what He has given us in His Word. Now, one thing I did not mention was devotionals. You know, and some people ask about devotionals, are there good ones to use? And sure, there are. But I would suggest using devotionals not as your primary Bible reading and Bible study, but being supplementary to it. So just as I talked about, too, listening to sermons. Listen to sermons by good, solid preachers. Absolutely do that. I want to encourage you strongly to do that, but make that be a supplement to your own personal study and your own personally getting into the Word. They are helpful, but get into the Word yourself. And I would say the same thing about devotionals. One, if you are going to use a devotional, make sure it's by someone solid, someone you can trust. And again, if you have questions on that, I'd love to talk to you about that. But I think sometimes we use devotionals because we think, well, I can't really know what it says. I'm not going to be able to understand this. And I was reading an article by Leslie Michelle, and she was talking about, you know, her involvement in women's ministries and what she often comes across in her conversations with women. And again, she's specifically talking about women here, but I think this applies to all of us as she talks about this. She says, ladies, you are not dumb. God created you smart enough to understand the Bible, and He created the Bible to be understandable. He loves you, and He wants you to read, embrace, and apply His Word to your life. So don't be afraid to throw that daily bread out the window and read a chapter out of your Bible instead. Why? Because you need spiritual nourishment, not mind candy. And you know, I think she's right. Again, not saying devotionals are necessarily bad, but use them as a supplement to your personal study. You can get into the Word, and as you're seeing to read the Word within its context, what does this verse mean in the paragraph that it's found in? What does this paragraph mean within the section it's found in? What does this section mean within the meaning of the entire book? As you read things and take them within their context and use commentaries, use a study Bible to get some of the background of those letters or books of the Bible, you can understand it. Now, am I saying that there's nothing that's hard to understand in Scripture? No. You know, and as we work through 1 and 2 Peter, Peter himself is going to admit that. There are some things that are hard to understand. But overall, the Scripture is clear in what it teaches. The overarching meaning, even when there's passages that are hard to understand, the overarching meaning of those sections are still, you can still get it and understand it as you read it within its context. It's just that some areas take a little more work than others. And there are things that are hard to understand. But again, I want to press you, get into the Word. All right? And I hope, too, to encourage more of why we need to be in the Word. We talked about our own spiritual growth last week. But I want to talk about, too, our responsibility to one another as well and why that's important to be in the Word. And as we do that, if you would, again, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And this is what we see here. As Paul is encouraging Timothy, who's there pastoring in the church in Ephesus, and he says this to him. Sorry. As he's telling him about the Scriptures themselves and how what Timothy had been learning from his mother and grandmother since childhood, as he reflects on those things, and he says in verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so what do we see here? That all Scripture is God-breathed. All right, so in other words, when we read Scripture, we're reading God's Word. Yes, men wrote it down, and you know, as we look through the Bible, Old and New Testament, we can see that there's places where God did dictate something. You know, thus saith the Lord, and the prophet wrote down what he said. But for the most part, God used the person and their abilities and their own personality in writing down the things that they did. In the situations and to the people and the circumstances they were writing to, but as they were led along by the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit inspired what they wrote, so that what they wrote was the very Word of God, that they wrote what was God-breathed. And so that tells us then what's here as Scripture is, again, since it's God's Word, it's the authority for us. Since it's God's Word, it's trustworthy. It's without error. And so we can trust what it teaches, trust what it says, and hold to it as the authority of our lives, because this is God's Word. And we see, too, God's Word is useful to teach. to train, to correct, to bring understanding, to bring reproof. If we need rebuke sometimes, if we're in sin and we're doing the wrong things and living not as we're called to, reproof comes. There's also correction that comes. If something's off course or something's not just right, the Scriptures can correct it. So whether it's in doctrine, maybe we might be off a little bit somewhere, not on purpose, but, you know, we just need to grow in our understanding of things, or, you know, how we function as a church. Something might be off that Scripture can bring that correction in what's right and what God intends. And then, too, we see here that the Scriptures then equip as well. Specifically here, as he talks about the man of God, he's talking about the one called to preach and teach. But we see that every good work is there's equipping for it in God's Word through the Scriptures. And so as we think about these things too, thinking about our own personal responsibility to be in the Word, to know the Word. Again, we talked about it last week for our own spiritual growth and maturity. And we need to recognize that, the importance of knowing the Scriptures, that we would know God and grow in what He calls us to, grow in obedience to Him. But there's also, too, responsibility towards each other here in the church. As we recognize this is God's Word, as we recognize this is the authority for our lives and that we can trust what it says, there's responsibility in knowing it in our responsibility towards each other. And I think that starts then, too, with us in our own homes. That starts with our immediate families that we have. I think it was back in October. Ken talked about during Sunday school the importance of raising up children in the admonition and instruction of the Lord. And the father's responsibility as the head of the household that to see and to make sure that this is happening and to be teaching his kids. We've also discussed the responsibility of husbands to be seeing our wives grow in the Lord, that we would be teaching them the Word as well and praying with them, that we would take up our responsibility that God has given us for the spiritual growth of our households as the leaders in our households. We as men have that, and parents together have that over their children as well. But again, the men are responsible for that. And so are we doing that? Are we spending time in the Word with our children, with our spouses, and growing? And part of that takes knowing God's Word, taking that responsibility. Again, we see the responsibility of parents in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Saying fathers, and you could say that that's for parents altogether, and that's true. But again, the fathers are the ones that are responsible to be overseeing that and to see that this takes place. So again, Ephesians 6, 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And then just before that, Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, we read, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And so the responsibility there to love our wives as Christ loved the church and what Christ has done for his church in his death and resurrection to save her, to make her his own, to wash her, that she would be sanctified. Those responsibilities in being like Christ and loving our lives like Christ. We have those responsibilities. And so to see that happening in our families, to recognize those things going on as they should, and for the men of the households to be overseeing that, it takes knowing God's Word. It takes being in the Word. And I liked a quote here that Curtis Thomas has in his book, Life in the Body of Christ. He says, we can't depend solely upon the pastors, Sunday school teachers, and others to train our families. That is our responsibility. And we cannot carry out that responsibility unless we ourselves are in the Word regularly. And so we see that there. Again, we see that the importance of us knowing the Word and being in the Word to fulfill that responsibility to others, to our family. And again, we can't pass that off on others. We can't say, well, that's the church needs to be teaching my kid. No, you need to be teaching your kid. And the church is to come alongside of you and help you as you need it. And so if you need help, say, I need help with this. Give me some direction here with this or that. And we should be able to come alongside each other and help each other and lift each other up. But again, the responsibility is yours to do that. Any thoughts on that specifically? Okay. Also, when it comes to functioning within the body, which we'll get into more specifically later in this Sunday school series. But again, in functioning together as the body, we need to know the Word. We need to be in the Word, growing in the Word, understanding it and studying it regularly. To know our gifts, to know the purpose of how Christ has gifted us by the Spirit to serve and function within the church. You know, we can look at the passage that talk about the spiritual gifts. I think I mentioned this before. It's helpful to remember 4:4-12:12, right? Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12. And what are the spiritual gifts, and what is the purpose and the function of those things that the body would be working together to build itself up in love, that we would grow into Christ's likeness together as a body, that God would supply and meet the needs of the church through the members of the church. So that working together and how God has gifted each one to function within the body. Now, in some of those passages, especially 1 Corinthians 12, and I think mostly 1 Corinthians 12, but I think Romans 2 maybe. But there are things that some of those gifts that I would argue have not continued beyond the time of the apostles. But nonetheless, there are things there that we see that are gifts that he has given to us for the church to function as he has designed it. So what is your gift? If you're a believer, if you have truly trusted in Christ and are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, you have been gifted by the Spirit to function within the church, to meet the needs of the church, for the church to be healthy and be growing as a body. So what is your gift? You need to go to the Word and be looking and praying over those things and understanding what that function is and understanding more about yourself through the Word and knowing how God has gifted you to be here, to be part of the church's growth and maturity. you know, we'll talk more about that as we go through the series as well. But also, too, just even understanding the church itself. How am I supposed to function in the church? Well, part of that comes in understanding the church, understanding what the church is, understanding God's design and plan for the church. Now, we started this by talking about the call for us to make disciples. Okay, well, how does my part play into that? What has God gifted me, or what do I need to learn from others who have gifts that I don't have? And understanding the church and why we've been brought together and how we've been brought together. What are the functions of the church? Not just evangelism, but also worship. As we gather together, we assemble to worship together. Well, what is that worship? What's the point of that? What are the ideas of coming together as a body to worship and be under the Word together? To understand that, we need to be growing in our understanding of the doctrine of the church. And so being in the Word and growing in that together. And everything I'm saying is part of that is, too, as we gather together in times like this on Wednesday nights, but also later in the service, too, as we have the sermon and we're under God's Word together, and then we should be discussing that together, and we should be holding each other accountable to those things as well, and then on our own as well, growing in the Word, all the more to function and see and understand God's Word in these areas so I understand what He has called me to and my responsibility to one another. And so we stand there and we understand, again, that the authority that God's Word is in our lives. Any further thoughts on that? Then another area I think that it's important then is that we're growing in our knowledge of the Word. is in understanding the idea of the leadership that God has put us under and holding that leadership accountable. And we talked about the authority that's in the role of elder, pastor, and overseer, right? And how God has caused the function of the church in making giving the church leaders. And though the Bible does call us to submit to our leaders, we're to submit, first of all, to Christ, right? Each one of us. And so it's not a blind submission that Scripture calls for. And we see that the leadership should be held accountable to the church, right? When Paul is instructing Timothy, he instructs on how to discipline an elder in the church. And he says, you know, don't even entertain an accusation if there's not one or two witnesses, if you haven't gone through the process of church discipline that we've discussed before. But nonetheless, again, the leadership of the church is not exempt from that idea of church discipline. There's accountability there. And so they are to be held accountable. I think another example of seeing that is when we look to the letter to the Galatians, where Paul holds the entire church accountable for the doctrine of the church. Well, why? I mean, the pastors are the ones that are responsible for teaching and leading and you know, communicating that doctrine to the church. Well, sure. But again, the church is to hold them accountable. And we need to be in the Word to be able to do that, to know when someone gets way off into heresy land. And or when someone is either teaching false teaching or is a false teacher, and that needs to get addressed. And we need to know how to address it and how to deal with that. And again, that takes being in the Word. And so the Word is central to the function of the church. The Word is central to knowing my responsibilities and how I'm to grow in both my spiritual walk and how I'm to be within the church as well. And so, again, all of this is vital and important. I've told you before that whoever is preaching from this pulpit or teaching in Sunday school or whatever it is, that we don't just hear what they say and say, okay, that's what they said, that's what I believe, that's what they've taught. But no, we go to the Word ourselves and we say, okay, is that what the Word says? And that's whoever it is, whether it's me or, you know, come the beginning of May 1st, Nate's going to be preaching here. And we just don't take any of us, whoever teaches, from just what they say. Go to the Word yourself. Be in the Word and say, okay, is that what God's Word says? And then we hold the leadership, we hold the teaching of the church accountable that way as well. So again, my whole goal in this is to show the importance of us being in the Word ourselves. And so again, as we talked last week, for our own spiritual growth, our own personal walk with the Lord, and two, in the idea of being part of the church and growing in our understanding of the church and what the church is and what's our role and our responsibility in that. We got to know the Word and be in the Word. God has given us His Word. And again, you know, we talked about the resources that we could have. We talked about there being good, solid, free resources online. And that there's so many good teachers, too, that we could supplement our own studies of the Word with. Things that we can just get on the apps of our phone, that we just take a little touch, and now we can be listening to these sermons while we're driving down the road or while we're, you know, whatever we're doing, cutting the grass or whatever it might be. And we have so much at our fingertips. What excuse do we have? And to be honest, I'm of the mindset that the more we have, the more accountable we're going to be to how we've utilized that. Again, we have to be discerning because there's also some awful stuff out there as well. But there's some good things for our spiritual growth to be in the Word, to get to understand and know God through knowing His Word and knowing what He has for us in our personal lives and in the church through knowing His Word. It's so vital and so important for all of us to be taking the time and making the Word a priority in our lives. And again, too, as we get into the sermon later, too, in 1 Peter, I think that's just going to reinforce what we're talking about here in being in the Word. So, any other thoughts or comments or questions on that? Yeah, absolutely. I don't. That's right. And so we need to utilize that time in the Word and our time then together, bringing that all as part of each other. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Anything else? All right. Well, then let us close in prayer. Father, we thank you for our time together. We're grateful that you have given us your word. Lord, that you have chosen to communicate to us through the written word. Again, as we will eventually see Peter discuss about the written word versus our experience, that our experience can be subjective, can be interpreted by ourselves in different ways, but your word is objective. And we'll see, too, this morning that it is the eternal word, the enduring word. And so, Father, we're grateful that you have given us your truth and that you preserved it for us. And, Lord, I pray that we would be just enamored by your grace and the gift that this is to know your truth, to know your word, to know you through your word, to grow in understanding how we glorify you, to know our purpose in being part of the church. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to drive us to your word, that we would grow in the knowledge of it. And so we thank you and we praise you and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.